The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them, and then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Last week we began with Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. If you ever go to the Holy Land, we will show you where this place is, the Jebel Barantah. This week he's on the Mountain of Transfiguration. If we walk with the Lord, we are going to know testing. There is a Greek word that's used, same word for temptation and testing. It's the same word. It all depends who's doing it, though. You remember God, through the Holy Spirit, led Jesus into the desert to be tested. When God tests us, it's so that we will choose him, so that we can manifest our choice. Sirach has a wonderful passage. The Lord says through Sirach, just as gold is tested in fire, so are the worthy in the crucible of humiliation. We go through testing so that we become more ourselves, so that we grow to full stature in Christ. On the other hand, the devil tests us so that we will fail. Going through testing is part of every person's life. If we do it with the Lord, his grace will be there for us. This week, though, Jesus is taken up and he's transfigured. And for all the disciples of Jesus, what he wants to do is also bring us up this mountain of glory. In order for him to do that, though, we've got to be listening to his voice. God the Father says, This is my beloved Son, listen to him. Two words in particular that we have to listen to. Jesus calls us to believe, and he calls us to be righteous. At the end of the gospel, Jesus says to his three friends, because it's his friends that he's brought up with him, he says, Do not be afraid. And again, over and over in the scriptures, Jesus says that to the disciples. And he says it to us. The biggest problem in the church right now is that we have lost our nerve. We don't believe him. He says, I love you. And we come up with all sorts of reasons why we're unlovable, as if he doesn't know. But his love, this is Christian faith, that his love is stronger than our sin. That his love will have victory no matter what kind of a mess we have made of Lent already. That if we trust him today, that he will be victorious. And because his love is stronger than our sin. St. John tells us the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The great temptation for all of us is to think, my God, it's getting close. Jesus wants to bring us up the mountain. A great person who exemplifies faith, who exemplifies the trust, is St. Patrick. I want to talk about him tonight and St. Joseph to celebrate their feast. St. Joseph is a just man, represents the righteousness that Jesus calls us to. St. Patrick, by his faith, okay, a little bit about his story. St. Patrick was raised in Great Britain, probably in Wales. And when he was 16 years old, he was captured by Irish slavers. They came, they captured him, and they brought him to Ireland to act as a slave. And for 6 years, he was a slave of a Druid family. Then the Lord appeared to him and told him how to escape. He escaped, made his way back home. But in a vision one night, he heard children from Ireland calling to him, saying, "O holy youth, come back to Erin and walk with us again." Eventually, he went to a monastery in southern France, became a monk, prayed, eventually came to Rome, and the Pope at the time, Pope Celestine, sent him as the second apostle to Ireland, because there had been another bishop sent, Bishop Palladius. But the Druids were so fierce that Palladius had to flee Ireland. He couldn't stay. Now, Patrick knew about this, but he went anyway. And somehow he avoided the Druids in the Wicklow Mountains, and he came to Tara. And Tara is, in addition to being God of the Wind, it was the capital of Ireland, where the High King of Ireland was. It's a small mountain. And he had gathered there, the High King, all of the lower kings, and all of the chief Druids, for a big festival. And as part of that, he decreed there would be no fires lit in the evening before. The evening before was the Easter Vigil. And St. Patrick came there with his followers, and on a hill opposite Tara, called Slain, he started the Easter Vigil, which means he lit an Easter fire. And that fire could be seen from the hill of Tara. And the Druids said, because they had oracles that warned them that a new religion was coming, they said, "O King, live forever. Unless you put out this fire, it will burn in Ireland forever." And so he sent all sorts of people to kill those who put the fire on, put out the fire, and they could not. And throughout the night, the fire burned. And in the morning, when the sun rose from the hill of Tara, they looked, and a big crucifix came down from the hill of Slain, and behind it, a deacon holding up the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before this, St. Patrick prayed his great prayer, which is also available, you can get it online. "Jesus be within me. Jesus be in front of me, behind me, on my right, on my left, beneath me, on top of me, in the eye of everyone who sees me, binding to himself the power of the cross." And as the wizards on the other side threw all sorts of incantations and spells, they said a great darkness covered them. It said worse than the darkness of Egypt. Through that, St. Patrick prayed. The light came. The cross continued. The gospel continued. And St. Patrick came with his mitre and his crozier. Came through, and because of the great miracle, nothing that they sent stopped him. The king allowed that the gospel of Jesus Christ be preached in Ireland. And so what happened? The power of the Druids who engaged in human sacrifice was broken. And the whole Ireland, all of Ireland, accepted Jesus as its Lord and Savior. About 500 years later, the Vikings came to Ireland. And they came and they followed Thor, who they called the Red Thor, because he had a red beard and because he was strong and virile. In their mockery of Jesus, they called him the White Christ, because he was pale, because he seemed weak, because he allowed himself to be killed. There aren't many followers of Thor left in Norway and Scandinavia. Well, brothers and sisters, Jesus conquers through his death and resurrection. He conquers through seeming defeat over and over again. Generation after generation, people mock him, scorn him, as they did when he was on the cross. But if we have faith in him, in our darkest hour, like St. Patrick did, then we will be taken up in glory with Jesus and with the other disciples who are faithful. So we have to trust him, especially in the darkest hour. We don't know a whole lot about St. Joseph, except that he's righteous. Righteousness in Hebrew means to be just, righteous, clean, and pure heart. How are we that way? We're that way in our behavior. And all of us know what our temptations to unrighteousness are. If in our families we use words that Christian people do not use, we need to stop that. If we treat each other in a way which is not right, we need to stop that today. We need to be honest in our business dealings. Why? Because when we work with the Lord for righteousness, then we are made capable of receiving the promises that he gives us. But that righteousness comes by our relationship with him. You read Romans 10. St. Paul says there's two kinds of righteousness. There's always obeying the law, and there's faith in Jesus. He said this is really not true because we don't do it. Or we circumscribe the laws so that we make them palatable for ourselves, but we end up cheating. He He says the only way for us to be just is when we allow Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. We put our trust in him. We allow his love to be within us. And that then allows us to fulfill the law. It allows us to be just men and women. How does it work? It works when we pray. And when in our prayer, we open ourselves up to him, we're reading the scriptures, and we realize we have not been just, and we repent. Because the way forward is not to pretend we're perfect. The way forward is to listen to the word of God, take it in, and say, yes, Jesus, you can have victory in me. I may have blown it until this night, but you can have victory in me. When we allow him, then, to come into our lives and fill us with his Holy Spirit, then we can do the acts of righteousness. St. Patrick believed in the gospel of Jesus, and because of that, a lot of people knew salvation. St. Joseph trusted even though it looked like his wife wasn't faithful to him. But he believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. Blessed will we be today if in our lives we trust Jesus again tonight and walk with him.